The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
God, thank you again for this morning. Father, thank you for the chance just to catch a glimpse of, Lord, what we can only imagine. Father, we thank you for this chance to worship you this morning. God, we just thank you for the time that you give us with you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I know I say this every week, and if it gets redundant, I'm so sorry. I love you all. Man, it is just amazing to come in and to feel the warmth, the fellowship, whatever it is that is about this. I just can't tell you guys enough how thankful I am for you, how much I love you guys dearly. And because of that, I think that there are certain things in life that happen. Let me ask you a question. How many of you guys have cell phones? Some of y'all are still asleep because everybody's got a cell phone, right? All right. Everybody's got a cell phone. How many of you have loved the recent changes with cell phones that when the number calls that you don't know, it says what beneath it?
Spam.
Spam. Thank goodness for whoever created that invention of technology. You saved me hours of time messing with telemarketers because that's one of my favorite hobbies to do is convince them that I'm going to buy whatever it is that they're selling just to hang up with them after 30 minutes. But now you help me stay focused and not answer those phone calls. How do you get intrigued, though, when that spam goes to your voicemail? You know, intrigued, you're like, what actually are they saying? If they leave a message, it has a little bit different of intention. Now, some of us will listen, or we'll get that, and we'll look at that, and we'll say, all right, potential spam, they're leaving a voicemail. I'll check it later, right? Now, your husband, your wife, your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, your son, your daughter, somebody calls you and you don't get to it in time, but you see they're leaving a message. Do you say, I'll check it later? Oh, some of you do. Mom and dad, yeah, okay. Usually if it's somebody we know, we check that voicemail a little bit quicker, right? There's a little bit more urgency. There's something a little bit more important about that message than just a random message from a could be telemarketer, could be spam, could be somebody like that. And so what I want to look at this morning is the importance of a message. The angels brought a message in. Rocky, you've ruined my world again, man. I went and I did a bunch of research to try and find a spot where angels sing. They never do. It says they praise, which, you know, I think that, but anyway, so I thought about this message the angels bring in Luke chapter 2. If you've got your Bibles, if you've got your notes, if you've got whatever, it's going to be on the screen in just a second. But I thought about the message the angels bring and the importance of that message. The angels bring a message in Luke chapter 2. Now, there's a couple reasons this message is important. Because up until this point in time, for about 400 years, it's been radio silence from God. That's a big thing when all of a sudden, after 400 years of no real God speaking to humanity through what we have in recorded scripture, all of a sudden angels appear to these shepherds in a field. That's pretty remarkable. The fact that God, Creator, speaks to creation is remarkable in and of itself. And so it has this idea that whatever message, whatever the angels have to tell the shepherds, and thereby us, is important. And it's one of those things that, like, I would encourage you, don't check the voicemail later. Check the voicemail now. So let's look at the words the angels say to the shepherds and how it relates to us. It starts out in Luke chapter 2, in verse number 8, it says this, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. The angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloth and laying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in a manger. As what I want to challenge you with this morning, church, is that every phrase, every line, everything that happens in this passage is vitally important, and it conveys the importance of a very important message to the shepherds, but to you and I. How many times we read this, and this is the Christmas passage, and we read it at Christmas, and we just kind of run through it, but this morning, if you'll allow me, if you'll hang with me, if you'll bear with me for a little while, I want to really break this down and look at the importance and look at what every single phrase these shepherds say, or these angels say to these shepherds and us. Because it communicates a very important message for them and for us. The first thing that happens is in this, in verse number 9, this message comes with power in the presence of God. Again, this message comes with a little bit more authority than just a random phone call. We all get those things that we say, oh, I'll check that later. This message carries a little bit more weight in our life. How many of you get a phone call from your boss and you send it to voicemail and think nothing about it? If my boss calls me, I'm answering. I mean, yes, God. No, but like, if your boss calls, that voicemail, that message, that phone call carries a little bit more weight with it. If the doctor calls, that carries a little bit more weight with it. There are certain phone calls, there are certain messages in our life that carry a little bit more weight to it. And so when these angels come, it says in verse number 9 that the glory of the Lord shone around them. In other words, this message comes with the appearance of God's glory, His power, and His presence dwelling with humanity. Now this is a big deal. Because these shepherds understood, these shepherds knew that they were terrified because of the presence of the living God in their life. These shepherds knew that they were sinful men, and for sinful men to be in the presence of a holy God meant one thing and one thing only. And he guessed as to what it was. Death. These shepherds knew, hey listen, we're low down dirty shepherds. He is a holy, righteous, and just God. If He's showing Himself to us, we're dead unless He intervenes on our behalf. So their terror comes from this idea that where death should be sentenced out or demanded, mercy is given. This is the power and the presence of God coming and dwelling with humanity. Now, the cool thing for you and I is this, is that no longer is the case. Why? Because you have the power and presence of God living in you. As a follower of Christ, you have the Holy Spirit, which is God's presence continually dwelling with you. We've talked about that on Wednesday night in our wonderful Wednesday night Bible study. This is your invitation to come be a part of Wednesday night Bible study, my favorite night of the week. God's presence, His power, dwells with you through the Holy Spirit. Continually. So this message comes with the power and the presence of God. And so we understand that everything this message has to say is important. And what I want to tell you this morning, church, is that the same message that came to them is coming to you. The message that demands death, because God's presence in our life would mean death if God did not intervene and do something. But now He's given mercy. He's given grace to you. And that's remarkable. The second thing that this message comes with is this. This message comes with the peace of God. What's the very first word the angel actually utters? Peace. Do not be afraid. Listen, I don't know what's going on in your life. Some of you have way more chaotic, hectic, stressful, problem-filled lives than I could ever even begin to imagine. But the message is still the same for you today. Don't be afraid. God's peace in your life. Wow. Listen, Pastor, do you know what's going on? No, I don't. But I know who God is. And because I know who God is, I know that whatever's going on in your life, He still says, don't be afraid. Peace. Listen, I know what's going on in my life, and I know what I need to hear from God from time to time is this, peace. Hey, John, you're worrying about a lot of stuff. Don't be afraid. You know who I am. You know I'm in control. Peace. The message of God comes with peace, and it comes to him. It came to, with peace to the shepherds, letting them know that they were, that even though they were in the presence of a holy and righteous God, God was going to give them his mercy. His God's desire was not to harm them, but to show them his greatness. This morning, church, if I could tell you one thing, it's this: don't be afraid. God is in control. His message is not to harm you. His plan, his desire is not harm for your life, but so that you can see his greatness. Whatever it is that you're going through, again, I know it may be tough. Listen, that's the very thing that God wants to use to show you how great he is. The next thing that comes with this message is this. It's a message that comes with anticipation and excitement. You look at verse number 10. The second thing the angel says is, I bring you good news that causes great joy. If you want to see God's greatness on display, look at everything he's done. For the shepherds that night, it was look at what he's going to do. The message that the angels brought the shepherds that night was one of anticipation, of excitement, of, hey, listen, the veil is going to be removed. God is making a way to come and dwell with his creation. That barrier called sin is going to be removed, and he tells them that later on. But this message comes with great joy for in anticipation in their life. It's the idea that what the angel is getting ready to tell them is something that they've waited for a really, really, really long time. Listen, I've waited really, 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 really long for Auburn to be good at football. If you were to tell me that they were going to be good next year, I would really look forward to it. I'd believe. I'd say, hey, I'm going to watch every football game because maybe they're going to be good. Man, how much greater is the message that we get from God that says, hey, listen, what I'm doing in humanity has never been done before. For these shepherds that were in the field that night, they had 400 years where God did not communicate with them. There were no prophets. There were no kings. It was quiet. And all of a sudden, the silence is broken. And the very first thing that the silence comes with is, listen, there's going to be some good news. Man, how many of you like getting bad news?
No.
No. Nobody does. It's one of the words. Listen, if you want to give me a heart attack, call me this afternoon and tell me that you want to meet with me on Thursday at 3 o'clock. And don't tell me what it's about. Because you know what I'm going to do all week? Worry what it's about. What did I say? What did I do? I did something wrong. They're mad at me. Something like that. And so if you want to, if you've got bad news, go ahead and just tell me right out the gate. Don't like wait a week to tell me. Tell me bad news right out the gate. If you've got good news, you can wait a week, but I'd rather you tell me right away too, right? Nobody likes that. And so the very first thing that the angel says is, listen, I've got good news for you. God's going to do something remarkable that you won't even begin to understand. He goes on and he tells us that this great news is not just for Jewish people, but it's for everyone. This message that comes to us is for everyone. It's a small detail, but these were Jewish shepherds keeping Jewish sheep in a Jewish field, right? It would make sense that if there was an angel was going to tell them something, it was for the Jewish people. And it was for the Jewish people because they were the ones who were awaiting the Messiah. But the angel says, hey, listen, this isn't just for you. This is for everyone. The news the angel brought weren't just for people who go to church. It's for the clerk at Walmart, the gas station attendant, the neighbor. This message that God wants to give this Christmas is for everyone. Sometimes we need to be reminded of that, don't we? We think that I don't know if you know this, but the world doesn't celebrate Christmas. They celebrate Santa-ness. Because it's a completely different focus. It's a completely different idea. You know who needs to hear the true message of Christmas? Everybody who celebrates Santa-ness. You know who needs to hear about the hope that God delivered to humanity through a baby? Everybody that doesn't know it already? This message is still for everyone. Now, why do I tell you that? Because here's where I'm guilty. Just going to go guilty. If I could get my hand up higher and not mess up my microphone, I would. Guilty. You know what happens? I get a little irritated at Christmas. Get a little stressed. Get a little worried trying to make travel plans with family. Get a little worried about my wife deciding that we're going to bake 5,000 goodies for all of her teachers, all of our kids' teachers, and it's Saturday and we don't have any of the stuff to do this. And all of a sudden, my mind starts to do what all of our minds starts to do. I start to worry a little bit. I start to get a little anxious. And I know you don't believe this about your dear sweet pastor, but I get a little irritable. I know. Hard to believe as it is. I'm a saint, but I get a little ill, get a little irritable. And you know who catches the wrath of it? Anybody around me. Does not matter. It's not just, I try my best to not make her mad at me, and so I'll just be smiles to her. And my kids, I really want them to like me at Christmas because, you know, that's what you're supposed to do. But that gas station attendant who's rude to me, hang on, you fixing to get my unloading because everything I've had built up is going to come out on you. And that's all a lot of us if we're honest. We let that stress, we let all this stuff cloud us and it bogs us down. And the very people who need to see the message of hope of Christmas are the ones who see anything but that in our lives. They're the ones who we just take it all out on. This morning, I beg you, this Christmas, intentionally realize that this message of hope is for everyone. And that those people at the restaurant today, when they don't bring you your food fast enough, or they don't bring you your chips and salsa fast enough, or they don't bring you your whatever it is fast enough, that person is the one who needs to see the hope of Christmas in you more than anyone else, because this message of hope is for everyone. The angels keep going, and not only do they tell you that this message is for everyone, but they tell you that this message comes with certainty and with conviction. If you read in verses 11 and 12, it says things like this: today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be assigned to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger. Why all these details? One of the things I love to do is look at the birth story of Jesus. Where was Jesus from? Bethlehem. Good. Anybody else? Bethlehem? Heaven, Nazareth, okay. Anything else? One other place you're missing. Mary. He was from Mary. Yeah. Not touching that one, nope. Anybody else? Heaven, okay. David, from the line of David. Where does he flee to when Herod tries to kill him? Egypt. Flees to Egypt. So Jesus is from Bethlehem, a Nazareth, from heaven, from Egypt, from the line of David. Do you know how many specific things are in the birth story of Jesus that could only be that could only happen if Jesus is who he says he is? Because there are prophecies that were made about him thousands of years before he ever stepped foot on the earth. The reason the angels give this detail is to let the shepherds know this guy is who he says he is. You can believe this message because it comes with certainty and it comes with conviction, because all the things that have been promised about him are coming true in this person. I don't know about you, but biology class told me that a virgin can't give birth. But here it is. I don't know about you, but the likelihood of somebody coming from all these different places is very, very slim. And that's just to scratch the surface about the prophecies that were made about Jesus to convey this message of certainty to you and I and to the shepherds. Why do the angels tell them these small little details? It's to convey certainty in their message, and that certainty should lead to conviction. Listen, I know the world teaches you that there are 1,000 reasons to doubt Christianity. Can I tell you, just not trying to get too intellectual and stuff, this book has been proven right more than it's been proven wrong. The prophecies about Jesus that could only come true if he was who he says he was are astounding and remarkable. You know how, listen, we're, you know what's cool for us? You know what you have to do to figure that out? Google. You can literally go to Google and Google prophecies about Jesus that came true, and you're going to get a long list of them. Now, you got to read through them carefully and filter them out, because some of them are true, but, you know, you got to just consider the source. But, man, how amazing for you and I that we have all of that that says this guy is who he says he is. But that's the confidence. I wonder about the conviction. Do you live your life like Jesus was who he says he was? Are you so convinced that he was who he says he was that it is a conviction deep down that changes how you live your life? See, these angels came to the shepherd and they gave all these details so that they would know that the message could be trusted. And because the message could be trusted, the message was true. The greater the information, the greater the truth. This morning, church, I want to remind you that the gospel came to you with assurances. It's to be believed with conviction. You know what the greatest truth of all is? I was a sinner saved by grace. Man, you know what I need to do to know that this message has conviction and has come, like has that other word, that other C word, certainty? I need to remember what I was like before I met Christ. That's all I need to remember. Man, I need to realize who I was and what he gave me and how he saved me. And that is the certainty that I know he is who he says he is. Also, some other things in this passage. This message is big. If you at first read verse number 11, it tells you today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. The angels convey this idea that this message is bigger than just the Messiah. This is bigger than just a political uprising. This is just a bigger thing than a change in circumstances. This is death to life. Church, this morning, I don't know your circumstances. I know a lot of us come to church. I know a lot of people seek religion with this in mind. God changed my circumstances. Can I share with you real quick that what God wants to do in your life is way bigger than your circumstances? He wants to bring you from death to life. This is bigger than just a Messiah, a temporary, hey, God fixed this problems we're in. It says he is a Savior. He wants to bring you from death to life. Amen. This morning, church, I know your circumstances may be rough, but don't miss what God's doing bigger than your circumstances. He is offering you life in place of death. The salvation of your soul is bigger than so many things in our life. We get bogged down by the circumstances, but listen, if there's a message I can tell you this morning, it's that this message that angels brought to the shepherds that God wants to bring to you this morning is bigger than your circumstances. It's about the salvation of your soul from death to life. This message is big. This message is massive, actually. And what should this message do? Well, it's probably only a message that's acceptable for rich people, right? That's the greatest thing about this message, Rocky. This message is acceptable to you and I. Who did God choose to reveal this news to? The high priest in the temple, the religious people, the well-to-do, the political elite. No, he chose poor shepherds that were in a field. This message is accessible. Luke chapter 11 verses 1, chapter 2 verses 11 and 12. See, again, say this. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find the baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. Man, can we pause for a moment and look at all the accessible elements of this? Hey, listen, here's where the baby is. Here's how the baby's dressed. This is for you to go see him. Because he's accessible. Because God is here for you. And why a baby? Listen, I'm not a fan of babies. I know, you don't believe that. I've got four of them. But like, when we first got married, I was like, nope, no kids. I'm good with none. God has a sense of humor. Man, I'll never forget what it felt like to hold Nora for the first time. Amen. It was remarkable. Man, and you know what? It was something about that baby that just drew me in. And before I was ready to be a dad, I was ready to be a dad because that baby was just like, hey, I'm yours. Why a baby? Is there anything more accepting than a baby? You know, babies don't really, a lot of times they don't know. You can pass them off to anybody and they'll just sit there and coo and look at them for the most part. What's more accessible than a baby? And this is God screaming out that this message is for you. God's accessible. Church, He didn't want to come to be a deity. He didn't want to come to be this standoff, distant God that is separate from you. He came and wanted to be accessible to you. I heard a guy say one time, if you got called into the president, or well, if you got called into the president's office, it'd be kind of overwhelming, right? I mean, if whoever the president is said, hey, listen, I want you to come see me, I'd be a little nervous. I'd want to know what it was about so I didn't have to worry about it the whole time until I got there. But man, if I knew the president, if we were friends, if I had a relationship with him for a long time, how cool would it be just to walk in that office and be like, yo, I'm friends with the president. That would be really cool. Do you realize that's the accessibility that God wants to give to you and I? The creator of the world calls you and I, his people, his children, his family. Because he wants us to understand that this message is accessible. The last thing about this message is this. Sorry, two more things. I forgot. This message is about God's glory. Luke 2, 20, or 14. Glory to God in the highest heaven. As amazing and accessible as this message is, we should always remember that the message is acceptable, or sorry, the message is accessible and amazing only because of God and not because of us. Again, church, there's nothing you can do to make yourself good enough to gain access to God. Had God not given his son to come and die in our place, we never would have had access to him. All of this is about God. If there is something that I hope is written on my tombstone when I die, his life glorified God. Because that's what everything should be. Everything that you and I do should all glorify God, because it's only by God I'm standing here. It's only by God I draw breath. It's only by God I get to speak to you. It's only by God I get to be a dad. I get to be a husband. It's only by God's grace and mercy and love on my life that I get to do anything. And so it's all about him. He says, listen, as amazing and accessible as this message is, don't forget, you can't reach me on your own. You needed me to come down. The last thing that this message is received by faith alone. 14 through 16, it finishes and says, on earth, peace to those whom his favor rests. It's nothing that we've done that causes God's favor to fall on us. It's his own good pleasing and his own good will to have his favor fall on humanity. Not only that, but then you read on and it says that the angels had left them and they went to heaven. The shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem and see what God has allowed, what God has told us about. These guys leave their sheep, who are dumb creatures and will probably wander off in a field, to go see what this is all about. Why'd they do that? Because they received the message with faith. They actually believe there's going to be a baby in a manger someplace. Now, it doesn't take a genius to think babies don't belong in mangers, and so what are we really doing? I wonder if one of the shepherds, about halfway through this journey to Bethlehem, started thinking back and was like, hey, y'all, we just left our sheep. We're going to a stall to look for a baby. are you sure this is... This doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. Somebody's going to come looking for us, and we're not going to be there, and our sheep are going to be by themselves, and we're going to say, where were you? And we're going to say, we're looking for a baby in a manger. A baby in a... Yeah, I don't know about y'all. But what did they do? And they gladly left everything and said, I believe whatever God you tell me. God, if this is a message from you, if this is a message from me, then God, I'm willing to follow you and go wherever you tell me to go. You tell me to go look for a baby in a manger, I'm going to every stable and stall looking for every single feeding trough for this son that you promised. It doesn't matter that it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't matter that I don't understand it. It doesn't matter about any of those things. God, if this is what you've told me, then this is where I'm going to go. And this is what I'm going to do. This morning, church, I wonder how many of us God has given this message to time and time again. The gospel message, the good news, a calling, a conviction on your life. And time again, we've run from it. We've run from it. We've run from it. We've refused to do it because it didn't make any sense to us. This morning, I wonder if you need to just say, listen, God, it's faith. I'm going to do it. Whatever your message is to me, whatever you're calling me to do, the gospel, if it's the first time salvation, if it's baptism, if it's joining a church, whatever it is that you're calling me to do, God, I'm going to do it based off of faith in you. That message was received by faith all those years ago. This morning, the message is still received by faith. It's not going to make sense. Always. It's not always going to be the easy road. It's not always going to be the best thing that you can think of. But if God's telling you something, you've got to receive it in faith and say, God, I'll do whatever you call me to do. Interesting too, faith meant that these shepherds got to sit right there in their field and that Jesus just walked out to them, right? He was a miracle baby. He could walk if he wanted to at one day old, I guess. No. It meant they had to do something. It meant they had to take a step of faith. It meant they had to travel. It meant they had to go on a journey. It meant they had to leave all that stuff behind them and go wherever God was calling them to go. That message is still true for you this morning, church. My prayer for you is this. That we would realize the great message that we've been given as well. The angels who spoke to those shepherds all those years ago declare the same message to you today. I hope that you accept it with faith and that it moves you in a way that glorifies God with your life. Lord, I thank you for today. Father, we thank you for this message from the shepherds, or from the angels to the shepherds, that Lord, we get to look back all these years after. God, this is a familiar passage. We've heard it time and time again. Somebody always reads it at Christmas. In fact, Father, a lot of us read it to our children on Christmas Eve or at a Christmas party or something. But God, this message is so much bigger than Christmas. These words are so much more. So God, I pray this morning that these words, this message, would ring in our ears this Christmas season. God, every time we hear this story, every time we hear these words, every time we read this, Father, that it would just ring over and over and over again in our heads. And God, that it would cause us to draw closer to you today. Lord, I know where my words fall short, your Spirit works wonders. And so, Father, my prayer this morning is that your Holy Spirit would convict us, would challenge us, God, would encourage us to take whatever steps of faith you're calling us to take. And God, that during this time of worship and commitment, that Lord, we would commit to taking whatever steps you are calling us to take. God, I thank you for this message and the importance of it and what it means to my life. God, I pray that you would just be with us this morning as we worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.